Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning. It's Monday, May 12th, and we're going to turn our attentions to Iraq right now. We came across some staggering statistics. 2 million Iraqis are disabled. And it's not so much staggering because of the number, but in a country where basic services can be sporadic, services for the disabled are basically non-existent. Even unpaved roads can pose a problem. We can go down a very long list. Tiana Tozer from Mercy Corps is working to change that. She's joining us from Amman, Jordan. And Tiana, thanks for being with us. And you've been working in Iraq to help train disabled Iraqis to advocate for some very basic services. Can you describe the need for us and what some of the most pressing obstacles are at the moment?
Well, not only do Iraqis face a lack of access to basic infrastructure and basic services. They have difficulty getting to school. Adults with disabilities are unemployed. They lack basic resources, and even just the ability to get around is lacking.
And what?
Go ahead.
No, I think we have a bit of a delay here, which is why we might step on each other a bit. Where do you start then in a place where there's such this enormous need?
Well, the major barrier that people with disabilities face around the world is not actually infrastructure. It's the attitudes that people have towards them and the attitudes that they have towards themselves. So you start by empowering Iraqis to identify their own needs and then advocate for their own needs, because they're the only ones who can change the situation for themselves.
And what kind of conversations have you had when you're saying that part of it is just beginning to talk about it? Why doesn't that happen?
There's a general conception, and it's not entirely true, but among the uneducated Arab community, that people with disabilities are cursed by God, particularly those that are born with disabilities. It's often shameful to have a person with a disability as a member of your family. So there's a shame associated with having a person with a disability. And then there's also associated with that shame is what do you do with them? We can't get them to school. There's no purpose for them.
Well, Tiana, having spent a lot of time in the Middle East, as you have, in many ways it's hard to understand why this shame manifests itself so sort of uniformly throughout the country. It is true that some more educated Iraqis tend to respond more to advocacy, but in my experience, whether you're talking about Iran, Iraq, or the Palestinian community, it's really, really difficult to get families to understand that the best solution for their disabled loved one is actually to confront the authorities to get more services rather than to just sit back and accept a feeling of hopelessness.
Yes, I agree with you entirely. It is very difficult to get families to do that. So it's important that you start with the person with the disability, that we change their attitude toward themselves, and through that, hopefully, they can change their family's attitude.
Can you tell a story of someone whose face lit up when you finally convinced them that, in fact, there was a way to step over the shame and maybe to step out into the light of their own communities?
That's an interesting question. I can tell you that in the recent training that I just finished, We were teaching them how to educate children about people with disabilities. And we took them to a school, and they gave presentations. And at first, the children were sort of afraid, and the people with disabilities were sort of hanging back and were feeling a little uncomfortable. And afterwards, there were these big, huge smiles on everyone's faces. The kids were surrounding the wheelchairs. They were talking with the deaf participants. They had so many questions, and there were just big smiles all around.
And that, of course, Tiana, is because universally wheelchairs are awesomely cool when kids are around. Isn't that correct?
That is completely right. Wheelchairs are awesomely cool.
It takes kids to figure that out, and once the adults see the kids, I mean, obviously it's wrong to say that, you know, a couple of meetings between kids and adults is going to change things in Iraq. What are the investment needs long-term that you think that country is going to need?
Well, one of the things that Mercy Corps has done is we've brought together the disability organizations in Iraq under an alliance called the Iraqi Alliance of Disability Organizations. And we're working with them to identify their priorities and help them speak with one voice.
And in fact, you're actually helping to get some wheelchairs over to Iraq. How's that working?
Very slowly, but hopefully we will get them there soon. They're Whirlwind wheelchairs. They're designed for...
Really smart. Companies. You went with Whirlwind. Whirlwind is the best company in the universe. And Adora, this is a really great story. They design wheelchairs that can be repaired and maintained with local technology right there in Iraq. Right, Tiana?
Yes, that's true. And they can also drop off frontwards off a 12-inch curb, which I was really impressed with, without throwing the rider out of the wheelchair.
Nice. You can't do that in the United States.
No, definitely not.
And I just want to say, Tiana, you're quite the athlete. I understand that you won a silver medal in the Barcelona Paralympics. For what?
I played wheelchair basketball on the USA women's wheelchair basketball team for 6 years. I competed in Barcelona and Atlanta.
All right, Tiana Tozer, we wish you all the best, and thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Well, thank you. It's been a pleasure. Have a great day.
You too.
You too.
Okay.